The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Here ends the reading of the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you please be seated? And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All of us are called upon to make decisions. This can be a decision that is very personal, about how we live in harmony with others, or it can be a little more general. And those decisions that appear to be personal also have a wider impact on others. Lifestyle decisions can affect what kind of world that we live in. And lifestyle decisions have an impact on our political decisions as well. The question that is basic to our living together, though, is what values or beliefs will we base our decisions on? Sometimes we hear the term core values as the rationale for our actions and our beliefs. Yet in our pluralistic world, the question of how we arrive at our core values is very much always under question. And these are questions about whether our core values are based on some universal principle, that what we believe is more than just our relative cultural perspective. I like to personally watch Stephen Colbert's program, because he has a satire of commentators that have unexamined yet passionate beliefs about the world. He invented the word truthiness to show how some people's understanding of truth is just unexamined bias. Truthiness, in his way, is belief that overcomes truth, and thus a person can impose his or her will on others because they claim to have the truth and nothing but the truth, even if it has not been tested or is really just one of self-interest. His point is that many commentators are really projecting a worldview that is unexamined and dangerous to most people's well-being. But the task of faith is to grow so that it provides us with the foundation to address the issues that we experience in our personal life, as well as the issues that society presents to us. We are to grow in wisdom. We are to grow in understanding. And this is so that we can confront those ideas that create ill will. Ideas matter, for they are foundational to our core values. And not all ideas are equally good. We have seen this in politics and in religion gone bad. Those views which create justification for acts of violence and prejudice. We have seen this in fascism and racism and condemning people for who have different lifestyles than you. This means that we must test our foundational beliefs to see if they are worth our loyalty. We read closely in the story of the wise men that we see in Matthew. They're telling us a story about this difficulty of raising questions with the taken for granted views and the demand of joy that changes one's mind. Matthew wants us to see something beyond just the familiar. Every one of us has a longing for God deep within us. We don't always recognize this desire for what it is, but we just feel it. Our spirit hungers for meaning. Our souls hunger for hope. And our hearts hunger for love. Why do we go to church? We can ask each of us this and come up with different motives, but at least part of the reason I believe is for people attending is the faint hope that they will feel God's presence. That we go in response to a longing, even when we can't name it. We can be called forth like the Magi, led by the light of a star. We have felt that pull of God's love that brings us here. And that longing is so deep and the voice is so distant at times that even in these moments when we think that we might have felt something or heard something, we don't often take even a single step forward. It's less frightening to stay where we are than it is to move toward the light. That we're not absolutely certain what we saw. For every three that are far-seeing, truly wise persons, there are probably 100 who won't look beyond their noses. Most of us are just too practical to chase stars. But when the Magi were asked, and when they asked about the new king, Herod begins to fear for his job. He asks all the people that he knows around them to help him figure this out. Even the scribes and pointing to Bethlehem. Herod even tries to hoodwink the Magi into coming back and wink, wink, telling him where the Savior is so that he can pay a visit and pay homage. Herod knows that anybody who is worth worshiping is a threat. The story begins to let us in on a little insight to the rest of the story we will hear throughout the year. And that insight is that the appearance of Jesus disturbs the status quo for everyone. Everything we own and claim and dream is threatened if a new king takes over. The baby grew up and changed all the rules. Jesus taught a revolutionary ethic of unconditional love, stubborn forgiveness, and radical hospitality to those who are marginalized in society. Jesus got into a lot of trouble for teaching and living out his notion of what God's kingdom looks like. None of us wants to lose that which we have grown accustomed to. Our trivial desires and obscure our genuine longing for what it is in our lives. We know much of that to which God invites us. We just don't necessarily want to take part in it. See, God invites us to spend less money on ourselves and more on those in need. God invites us and calls us to waste less time amusing ourselves and give more time to our family and friends and strangers. God tries to gently persuade us to turn our attention from the temporary to the permanent, from passing time to investing in eternity. We know far more about God's invitations than we probably want to admit. If we don't listen for God, it may be because we've already heard God and we're still trying to decide how we want to respond. Are we courageous enough to seek God in the common questions of ordinary life? in each confrontation, at every stage, will we go forward in faith or will we shrink back in fear? We are tempted to lie at anchor when we were meant to sail with the wind. Tempted to hide in the darkness when we were called to follow the light. The wise men followed even though they seemed foolish. They wanted to see Jesus more than they wanted to keep their treasures, more than they wanted to play it safe, more than they feared the difficulties of the journey ahead of them. The Christian faith is not just a set of beliefs, but it's a willingness to travel, to pursue God's gentle light. Christianity is not just a place to stand, but it's a direction in which we move. God invites us to follow the star. The Magi did follow the star, and then at the end, they offered these costly, meaningful gifts. They had completed their journey, and now it was time for them to go back to their lives, to go back home, to live in their ordinary again. But again, the scriptures always have layers upon layers of meaning. And the Magi, we are told, go back a different way to avoid Herod. They now know that Jesus is the sign of God's love for the world. They realize that Herod is hatred and scary, and Jesus is about love. So they go back a different way, because once they have met Jesus Christ, they and we go about our lives in a different way. We have the opportunity at the beginning of this new year. And as I invite you to the Lord's table, where all are welcome to receive the bread of life in Jesus Christ, as you come to that altar, focus on who Jesus is for you and for the world. Look into his wonderful face. You have come and traveled to meet him, and now you get that opportunity. And as you receive that sacrament, reflect on some occasion for joy in your life, whether it's an experience, a person, a moment, a memory, something overwhelming when you think about it. And once you have received the sacrament, once you have made this journey, then you will return a different way. The Epiphany of our Lord is finally a tale of transformation. And at the beginning of this calendar year, it offers us that same possibility once again of our own transformation, where we can turn and repent and reflect, and we can seek the face of God. And when we do, we are changed, we are transformed, and we live and go a different path. This well-known story about gifts received the latter share reminds us, as the transformation is not at all our achievement, but it is God's intervention in our lives. Another gift freely given to us by God. Because meeting Jesus can change us. Maybe you were born in Jerusalem, or maybe you have been in this congregation all your life, or maybe this might be the first time you've ever been here. Maybe you have come from some secular place that seems so far away, or maybe God has given you some clues along the way, some signs, and you have found yourself here, now, tonight. So a path is set before you. Focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, reflect, and receive God's grace. You will be overwhelmed with joy. You will return to your world and enter this new year in a different way. Because, brothers and sisters, let us all set out on this journey together. And let all God's children say amen. Amen.